Blog Talk Radio.
I don't know what happens to the opening music. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, yes.
Oh, okay. Well, we're going to have to come in there. Well, we're going to do it old school with no music.
How's that?
Okay.
In podcast land, welcome and thank you for tuning in. This is a Hodge to Hodge production. This is the Messenger Edition on Block Talk Radio, and we have co-producers Ken and Ron Hodge. This is Nurse Carmen, and again, we thank you for tuning in. And now we'll have a conversation with the messenger, Ron Hodge.
Good evening and welcome. I want to first of all apologize for missing our podcast last week. But what we're going to do, I'm going to start off. I usually give my co-producer the last 5 minutes, but you know what? I'm going to give him the first 5 minutes today and see how long he goes. So I'm going to give the co-producer, turn it over to the co-producer, let him share a word, and then I will be right with you.
Hey, good evening. Good evening. Yeah, tonight, as we look at reintroducing you to some of what you already think you know, and what I mean by that is tonight I'd like to just talk about some of the famous stories in the Bible that we've been told throughout the years, just in order that you might look at it and think, that just don't make a lot of sense to me. And what I mean by that, I'm not getting you to question the deity. I'm just getting you to question the stories about the deity. So let's make that clear, because God is awesome and he is powerful. But some of the stories that they made up back in the day, Warner Brothers themselves couldn't do better. Let's just look. And I really do mean that. Let's just look at from the beginning. Let's travel right back to the Garden of Eden, where it all started. Here you have two folks running around the garden, naked, nude, or whatever, and you ate of an apple or of a fruit, whatever the fruit was. Now all of a sudden you realize that you're out of communion with God. And on a much, much larger scale, here's the awesome God that we serve, y'all. Listen to what they would have you believe. That he is so awesome that two people, I'm sorry as I bring this out, two people messed it up for everybody. Everybody messed up now because of two people. That's the story they would have you believe. And I would like to say, come on, we have to be smarter than that. That's all I'm saying. If you want to believe the story as a motivational story, okay. But as a story that is used to invite you or introduce you to religion, I think that's just crazy to believe that.
Mm-hmm. Don't make no sense.
None at all.
What also, my brother, makes it even more crazier, and this is something that we as a whole have to think about as we adopted these stories to be true. What you have to understand is, so the God that is so loving and so kind, that is taking care of us and loves us regardless, he actually set us up to fail. If you think about the story that he just told in the garden, God set us up to fail because God knows everything. So if he knows everything, he knew if he put that fruit there that they would eat it. Go ahead, my brother. I just wanted to add that on to it so that you can just see how we've been told so much stuff that when you sit down and allow the spirit within you to start answering some of these questions, you'll start laughing, just as the brother was laughing, because they are so ridiculous.
Yeah.
And think of this. The God that we serve, so loving, all-knowing, gave you everything. I mean everything. But told you, you cannot touch that one thing. Now, I'm sorry. By the time I got finished experiencing everything, that one thing would not have even been important to me. Now, I know we like to tell a story, you know, as soon as they tell you not to have something, well, you want it. Well, eventually, I would have got around to wanting that. But right now, I got everything, and that's what I'm going to choose? No, it just don't make sense. And why would God give you everything except one thing?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what would be the point of that? To test you? See, now we go back to that whole I'm God and I have to continue to test you to see if you love me, even though I made you and I programmed you to do nothing but love me in whichever crazy or way you know how, but all that you do is showing love to me. And again, it's an understanding and a spiritual connection that I believe I have, but they don't want you to have that. They, as in that organized religion group, they don't want you to have that, because once you have that, then you understand that, again, I can have a conversation with God while I'm on this podcast talking to you. I don't have to get dressed and go anywhere. But, you know, I'm sorry, I was getting off the subject just a little bit. But again, they teach us that God put Adam and Eve in a garden with everything in it and told them, you can have everything but one thing. And that one thing he could not resist having. And again, you know how the story goes from there. But it just doesn't make sense to me that even if, wait a minute, and this is going to sound kind of crazy, but please stay with me. If God recognized that Adam and Eve was already tainted, why wouldn't he just cancel them right then and there, take them out? I mean, for real, I ain't trying to make them sound like one of the crime families, but why would he cancel those two? Why would he wait till he had multitudes and then cancel all of those? Does that just make sense to anybody?
No.
I mean, you know, as we just sit down and look at some of the things that we have been indoctrinated with, man, it makes you just want to say, wow, how could I have ever been duped into that? Because I can't believe that. I can't. I'm sorry.
One of the things also I want to reiterate to you, you were just saying how you can have a conversation with God on this podcast. You are having a conversation with him, because as you speak, there's something in you that's telling you that this is okay to say, that this is what it is. and that is your conversation with God. We've gotten it where we think that you have to be on your knees praying and all that. Just your daily thoughts is a conversation with God, because if you look at your thought, if you listen to your thoughts, and then you stay still, you'll get an answer to them. And where do you think that answer is coming from?
From God.
Amen.
Amen.
We've been allowed, and I won't even say we've been allowed. It's been indoctrinated. We were taught something that we really had no choice in accepting or rejecting. I don't care how you look at that. Now, as we got older, whatever your, you know, because back in them days, whatever your parents did, that's what you did. And most parents were doing that Baptist, that, you know what I'm saying? So that's what you had. Now, as you got older, the Nation of Islam came out. But I don't know. It's just when we start talking about organized religion and what it is, that it's so important to have you believe, man. I think that the real plan is to make sure you never understand what you are really rightfully heirs to. I think that's the real plan. Let's make sure under no circumstance can any generation ever open their eyes and realize that which made all this is in each and every one of them. We cannot let that happen, because then they will realize they don't need me. I don't need a city of gold. I don't need any of that. Because just like the title said tonight, man, we want to reintroduce you to the concept. You already have, when I say you already have guaranteed, listen to me, and I know it's going to take a lot to digest it. You already have guaranteed what you seek, and there is nothing you can do to mess that up. I'm just saying, that's how easy it is. You can't mess it up if you want to.
Mm.
As the brother teaches us, there's this little tricky word we call consequences that you're going to pay for in the physical. Yeah, oh yeah. Well, you know, don't confuse this ministry as the brother said, I can do what I want. Yes, you can do whatever you want. I don't care whatever that is. But just understand there's consequences for what you do. So don't mistake the message here. The message is telling you to live your life to the fullest. But in order for you to really understand, I believe, for you to live that life to the fullest, is you have to understand whose you are. As my godfather used to preach this, who you are and whose you are.
Amen.
You know who you are and know who you belong to. And this isn't a belonging to like a master to a slave. Nah, not that kind of belonging to. This is the kind of belonging to that a mother has to the child. That kind of belonging too. We come from one another. Wow, that was even what says accidentally, and I'm really not trying to get a whole new podcast started. But accidentally, when I just said that, wouldn't it just seem to make more sense that God was a woman? I'm just saying that hit me right now when I said from the womb of a child. But wouldn't it really just make sense?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if you look at the characteristics, see, we talk about caring for people unconditionally. You know, after you coming out of your mother's womb, I mean, you can do a lot, man. But that connection, you can't ever sever that connection. And sometimes, again, it just hit me right now that would seem more in line. That would seem more of a physiological way. I sound like I'm on life. He don't want to say nothing about your logical, but that would seem more logical that's how we have God in us, because he birthed us all. He birthed every single one of us. I'm saying it's just a theory.
All right.
One thing you got to understand is God is a woman. and a man. God is everything. One of the things we really have to do, is stop thinking as God as us. And we've got to turn that around and start thinking of us as God, because God is not us. The things that we do here on earth in the realm of God, these things do not exist. Where an eye for an eye, that does not exist with God. With God, it is absolute. Everything is, it is what it is with God. There is no revenge. There is none of that once you come to understand who God really is. And when you come to know who God really is, then you'll come to know who you really are. And so the way that we look at things, because we look at everything here now in the perspective of as a human being. And I was in a discussion the other day, and I'm trying to tell folks that you can call yourself a human being if you want, but you are a spiritual being. You are in this body, which is matter, as a matter of fact. That's what this body is. It's matter. And your spirit resides inside this matter. And because matter has a tendency to take all kinds of forms, you ever ask somebody when they weren't feeling well, what's the matter?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what we are. We are matter. The spirit is within us, but we've gotten so used to thinking that we are so much in this human body, and we're not understanding we're really so much in the spirit that is within this body. But we neglect the spirit for the outer body. And the outer body can do nothing. It is the spirit that is within this body that allows you to do and have your being. But we can't get past the concept of us being human beings and flawed and all that stuff, and we're not. And we've got to stop looking at ourselves that way and walk in the glory of who we truly are. And that is one of the hardest things for us to do. Go ahead, my brother.
Oh, this is your podcast, Big Messenger.
but it's important for us. I'm sorry we had the sister here. Someone was here and they left us. But it's important. It's important for us to know that we are far more than this matter that we see day to day. We should know that by just some of the things that we do from day to day. A lot of times what we do is we get caught up in what it is that everybody else is saying about us. But when we know that we know, regardless to what they say, we do what we do.
Mm-hmm.
It is because of what it is that is within you. That same thing is in them, but they choose not to see it because they want to walk around believing the things in which they've been told most of their lives. And they hold it to be self-evidence that
right.
It is real, even though during the course of our lives, we see it to be otherwise. But we won't let go of that because it is something that has been put into the data banks of our minds, and we refuse to let it go, even though. And I'll give you an example. When you do the godly things and you feel as one with God for that moment, for that hour, what do? You let it go and go back to the worldly things. Sister T isn't here, but, you know, when she said that feeling that she got when she helped someone, that feeling we should be trying to get all the time. So if helping someone gave me that feeling, what should I do? I should be helping somebody all the time. Because when I'm helping somebody else, what I have to understand is really I'm helping myself. And not on a selfish level, but that's what it's about. It's about self. Because we have no control over no one, anyone. We don't have control over them. Each person has their own path that they have to walk. And this even applies to us, our children, our siblings, our parents, everyone. This applies to them. They have a path that they have chosen. Yes, we might want them to take that path that we've chosen, but that is not our call.
You sound like the Karate Man, right? What path have you chosen?
And that's what it is.
Don't be like, let me take the pebble from your hand, man.
That's right. When I take that pebble from your hand, then you can go about your way because you have proven yourself. So when I can get these false beliefs out of your mind, then you can go on about your life. You can be the best you. Right now, we're not even trying to be the best person that we want to be. We want to be the best person that everybody else thinks we should be. And so technically, we're not living our life to the fullest because it's not our life we're living. We're living the preacher's life. We're living the priest's life. We're living the imam's life, what they're telling us we should be doing. And why do we need to listen to them when we have that spirit within us that'll guide us? Every step of the way, all we have to do is listen. But we choose not to. And something that I say to Nurse Carmen all the time, it's because we don't want to admit it, but we love drama.
Mm-hmm.
We love it. And this is why we get caught up in it all the time, because we love it. Because drama is easy to get out of. If somebody start messing with you, you know what to do. I can just leave that person and no more drama.
Bye.
But instead, we'll stay and allow the drama to exist. We love it, and we have to admit it, and then once we admit that we love it and want to change, then we can start. But the first thing we got to do is admit. Admit it. And we all been in situations where there was drama, and at that particular time, we just didn't feel like the drama, and we got rid of it.
That's right.
And we got rid of it, if you really think about it, really easy.
Pretty much. Mm-hmm.
We have the power to do just as we would like to do. But we choose not to because we're trying to do what it is that everybody else wants us to do. And this is why we walk around here upset at God. When God didn't do anything. When from the beginning, God gave you all the tools that you would need to be the best that you could be. It's just up to you to use them. And boy, once you start to use them, you will see how powerful the tools are that he gave each and every one of us. No one is greater than the other. We are all one. And it really gets to me because people, even religious people, have a tendency to look at me like I'm crazy when I say that we are all one. And that even though the Bible, which they believe, the Quran, which they believe, they tell them this.
That's right.
But they tell them that we are all one if you do this or you do that. They add to it. We're all one if we meet on Sunday morning. We're all one. Whether you meet or not, that same spirit in you is in them.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
But they feel that they've got to hear a word from somebody that was out in the street doing the exact same thing that they were, and that person is more tuned to God than they are. God said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So if he would never leave you or forsake you, that automatically kills the story that you started off with in the beginning, my brother, about Adam and Eve. about being disconnected, about him setting them up. He would not do that. Why? Because he is with you. He cannot leave you. If God left you, you do not exist. As a matter of fact, truthfully, there is no way that he can leave you. No way whatsoever. There is nothing that you can do. There is nothing that you can do, my brothers and sisters that are on here right now, that would make you leave yourself.
That's right.
Is there a way for you not to be Nurse Carmen and you, Brother Co-Producer? Is there a way for you not to be that?
Not that I know of.
Now, you might be a different version than what people see right now, but you are still you.
That's right.
And that is the same way it is with God, because God is us, and we are God. But because people want to instead of allowing the Spirit to lead them, they want to make jokes of, oh, now you think you God. I don't think I know.
Amen.
But I don't mean it in the sense that they want to make it seem like.
Right.
I am alive and have my being because of the Spirit that resides in me. You can have a conversation with somebody and ask them, if God removed the Spirit from you, what would happen to you? I'd die. If God gave it back to you, what would happen? I would live.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we know this body is nothing. So if the body is nothing, and the reason why it's nothing is when it's over with, what do they do with it?
Back to the dirt, baby.
To the dirt. When you throw out garbage, where you just put it in a can and they throw it out. Got big landfills
right.
for it.
Yep.
Because it's no good any longer. But that does not stop you from being you. And a good reason, way you can see that is people have left this body and come back. Just about everyone who has passed away, somebody has spoken to them again.
Right.
Who else right. did that? Can somebody tell me who else they know did that? Jesus did that. He came back. People saw him and spoke to him. And that just goes to confirm what I've been saying. There is no difference between you and Jesus. The only difference is that Jesus knows who he is and we don't.
Yes.
We think we were born in sin and shaped in iniquity, and that is just so far from the truth. And our lives each day should show that to us, because each of us know we've done some stuff that we should not be here. According to our thinking and our beliefs, we shouldn't be here. I think about it was this brother. I can't remember his name. Brother, he was in the Alabama Projects. And I don't know how true it is, but if it's true, this is what I know it to be, is he fell out the window. I think on the 8th floor of the Alabama Projects, Building 5. And through all the time that I know him, the only thing that happened was he walked with a limp. Bless you, my brother. I thank you for covering and setting things up. I just wish that that more people were more excited about hearing how special they are, hearing about what magnificent power and authority we all have as creators. Stop walking around with our heads down like we're in sin and we can't do nothing and woe is me. No, that is not the case. We are more than conquerors. I thank you, my brother.
Amen.
And that's our podcast tonight, The Messenger. Again, we try to give you a new direction
with respect to the Creator. Tonight we wanted to reintroduce you to the concept. Again, you already have guaranteed what you so desperately seek. Okay, live your life and live it to the fullest. God bless you from the messenger.
Thank you, Lord.